line. Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Corey Davis, former Titans wide receiver, took to Instagram yesterday and announced that he is stepping away from the game of football. He has decided to retire. And it was not what I expected to hear yesterday. It wasn't even thought in my mind that Corey Davis might retire, but good for him. He wants to spend more time with his family. He'll be able to do that. Wish him nothing but the best. But we were talking about this earlier, about how Corey Davis was viewed here specifically, because he was the fifth overall pick, and he didn't perform like you would expect the fifth overall pick to perform. It's a disappointment when you're drafted that high, or high expectations. That's just what it is in the NFL. But Jared had a thought on the decision, John Robinson's decision to draft Corey Davis, and where that might rank amongst all of his decisions as general manager of the Tennessee Titans. This was Jared on his show yesterday.
I will contend that the biggest mistake of John Robinson's career was drafting Corey Davis with the fifth overall pick in the 2017 draft. And I know what your reaction is going to be, that Isaiah Wilson was a worse decision because Isaiah Wilson was a bust. And he never played in a real NFL game outside of four meaningless kneel-down snaps. But here's the difference. The value of the 28th pick of a draft, which is what Isaiah Wilson was, compared to the value of the fifth overall pick, is night and day different.
So Jared says that drafting Corey Davis fifth overall in the 2017 draft was John Robinson's biggest mistake. Now, I wasn't here in 2017. I wasn't here in Corey Davis's tenure with the Tennessee Titans. But do you agree?
It's a Jared type, you know, thought provoking, you know, throw it cold water in your face, kind of get a reaction out of people type of take. I'm not surprised it did that. It's not the worst decision they ever made. But I see his point. He has a point that you just rattled off in the last segment, all of the other guys that in hindsight were more impactful from the first round than Corey Davis. You know, you can play that game all day. You could go to any of the major sports, go through the draft on a given year and say, huh, what if so-and-so had picked this guy with the fifth pick instead of this guy? You could do that all day and you could drive from Nashville to Boston, you know, which D-Mace is.
Yeah.
Might be doing here soon.
Is going to be doing, which I have done a couple times. I mean, you can kill time, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That is, to me, not what it's all about. Like, Corey Davis was a good player, not a great player. Mm-hmm. So This is what happens every year to a lot of teams in the draft. Nobody gets it right every year. So to nitpick on that, I see his point, and you can wonder what if, in hindsight, what if they had taken TJ Watt? Sure, but it's just hindsight is 20/20. That's what that is to me. And so I don't list that as the biggest. It's a great what if. It's not the worst thing that they ever did.
What do you think would be John Robinson's worst decision?
In drafting?
Yeah. I would have to say Isaiah Wilson.
I would have to say Isaiah as well because of the need on the offensive line at the time. And it has put them behind the eight ball ever since. They're still trying to make up for not having that one guy, you know, that can be a staple of your offensive line still. He still could be the leader of your offensive line had things worked out, but it didn't. Another mistake, I think, it was not signing Jack Conklin back. That was another huge mistake.
That's a really good way of going about a debate. Like, we can talk about Isaiah Wilson. I have yet to have the person tell me, yes, they should have known during COVID that there were all these huge trouble things that would indicate that he would be that much of a wacko, right? He went off the deep end. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in his backdrop that would, to that extreme, have been warning signs that they should have hit. I didn't hear anything about that until all of a sudden it just started happening.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Pac-Man Jones, there were some warning signs that he had some issues. Mm-hmm. And, man, from day one, there were issues with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Pac-Man grew out of that eventually after he left the Titans. He played for a long, long time. But it's all in hindsight. Like, if you want to wave the magic wand and say, yeah, we should have known this, that's a way different thing than, you know, should they have known at the time. The Conklin decision at the time
mm-hmm.
baffled me.
Yeah, it did,
it
too.
Baffled
I didn't understand.
And I was like, why? This is a good lineman. Why wouldn't you want him for the fifth year? Now, that one, I think, in the moment, I was questioning, mm-hmm. right? But if you're questioning a first round pick in the draft, that's just, you know, you can go down that rabbit hole all day, every year, and play hindsight as 2020.
But I get what, you know, because again, it's the perception. If you were picked that high, then this is what we expect. He had some good years here.
Mm-hmm.
Not fifth overall pick good years, but if he was the 25th pick, those were good years, solid years. But again, when you pick that high, I'm not looking for good years. I'm not looking for solid years.
I'm looking for franchise.
Exactly. I'm looking for franchise type years. I'm looking for you to be an all pro. I'm looking for you to be a pro bowler. I'm looking for you to sign the second contract mm-hmm. and to be our receiver, you know, moving forward or whatever the position is. I expect you to be a cornerstone of what we're building here. And, you know, based upon the play and the position, it didn't match, you know? But again, I'm not going to say that was the worst mistake. Again, I go back to the worst mistake wasn't in the draft. It was you didn't sign an all-pro lineman back. I know he was coming off injury, but he was playing well still.
Mm-hmm.
You decided that, we don't want to pay him the money. We'll let him go somewhere. And you've been paying for it ever since.
You've been an offensive lineman limbo
exactly.
ever since.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Here's, again, another example. I just picked a year at random. I typed mm-hmm. in here, 2012. Fifth pick in the draft that year, Jaguars, Justin Blackmon. Now, Corey Davis didn't light the world on fire, right? The whole expectation, you got to have a star with the fifth pick in the draft. Justin Blackmon never did anything. Yeah, ever.
He was out of the league as fast as he came.
Never did anything ever.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm saying that this happens. Pick a year. You mean just any year. I will find you a pick in the top 10 that never did anything ever. Corey Davis had a solid career. It's not the greatest. It's not ideal. But most years, if not every year, somebody doesn't get a star with their top 10 pick. It happens most of the time.
It does.
Just look at the quarterbacks that have busted in the top 10 picks.
Spent a lot of
money. Never do anything ever.
And that's why when we talk about worst decision by John Robinson, mm-hmm. I can't go with Corey Davis because he did give you three solid years.
Yeah.
Because four solid years.
Yeah.
You made the playoffs twice, got to the divisional round of the playoffs, you got to the AFC Championship game. Did he give you what a fifth overall pick, what you would expect, and what this team needed at the wide receiver position? No, we didn't. So it's still, we can look at that and say that wasn't a great decision by John Robinson. But Isaiah Wilson gave you nothing. Nothing. And I know a late round pick is completely different than a top five pick overall. I get that. The value of those picks is completely different. But it's still a first round pick.
But the
and it
need.
Was still a position of need.
Yes.
For the Titans needed offensive line help in that 2020 draft. And they got absolutely nothing. Nothing from Isaiah Wilson except embarrassing stories, a big old headache, and a mixtape that came from Isaiah Wilson after he was cut by the Dolphins.
Have you heard the mixtape?
It's awful.
Oh, I hadn't heard the mixtape.
It's bad. It's really bad. We'll play it at the break. But that's why if you get something from Corey Davis, no, it wasn't what you wanted, but you got four solid years from him. You got absolutely nothing from Isaiah Wilson, and that is a big mistake.
Yeah, so I get it. I get why Jared said that because the production doesn't match the position that he was drafted in. But also, you know, he was a solid player for the years that he was here. And, you know, to me, that, again, that was another mistake that you made as an organization. Not trying to sign back a guy that it seemed like he was getting it now. It seemed like you had your Batman and Robin, or whatever you want to call the two, peanut butter and jelly, I don't care. But you had your one and your two, and you had a really good pass game with both of them. Why? Because the quarterback trusted both of them. Why? Because both of them had different type of games. You know, Corey was more of the smooth guy, the number two. He can get downfield. He can catch those intermediate passes. Then you had A.J. Brown that was just the beast. He can do it all. They work well with each other, and the Titans have been trying to find that since they let Corey Davis go. They've been trying to find it since they let Jack Conklin go, and they couldn't get Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Washington.
Isaiah, even though he's a little older, Isaiah exactly. Thomas might have done better. Exactly. He might have gotten better at offensive tackle. Isaiah is, you know, he's a pretty good athlete.
Maybe he would have played a game.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas would have played a game.
I just typed another draft in, completely random, 2005, which happens to be the Pac-Man Jones draft. All right. Third pick in the draft, Braylon Edwards, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, he
never did anything ever.
And the Browns
didn't have 1 year.
Dumb organization.
Yeah, 1 year where he was a Pro Bowler.
He did. I don't. Okay.
He may have.
I'll take
one
your
year.
Word for it. Seventh pick overall, Minnesota Vikings. Troy Williamson, South Carolina.
He never did anything.
My point is, pick a draft, any draft. There will be at least one or more names in the top 10 where if you could have a do over, you would take it. And Corey Davis is better overall than both of those guys. So it's not, again, going back to Jared's hyperbole, which it was, of the worst decision ever. Now, potentially could that have been a game changer if they had hit on that pick? Yes, but the point is people miss on picks. There's a varying range of every draft pick ever. And to play hindsight is 2020. It's a fool's errand.
I mean, teams miss on draft picks all the time.
Every year.
And hit on draft picks on the sixth and seventh round. It's not a perfect science. But it doesn't hurt your team any less when you don't hit on those top five, top 10 picks. Because the idea is you're not picking in the top 10 every single year. But when you get that opportunity to be able to pick that high, then you want to hit. But no, it's definitely not a perfect science. And I think we have learned that over the past couple of years with Tennessee Titans drafting. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So the Colts have granted permission to Jonathan Taylor to seek a trade. But that comes with a condition. You have until Tuesday. There are teams that are interested. Are those teams going to be willing to give up what the Colts want for Jonathan Taylor? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, 1025, 1063, The Game.
With all the difficulties that have transpired this summer with Jonathan Taylor, him wanting to get a new contract, him wanting to get paid, him wanting to be traded, now they have acquiesced his demand and say, yes, if you can find a trade partner that's going to satisfy us and satisfy the player himself, we will make that trade. And so there are teams out there right now figuring what it would take to acquire one of the best young players in the league.
Jonathan Taylor requested a trade from the Indianapolis Colts. Less than a month later, the Colts granted him permission to seek said trade. And now there are six teams that have inquired about a trade for Jonathan Taylor. Now, that doesn't mean that those teams are going to push it all in the middle for Jonathan Taylor. That doesn't mean that those teams are salivating at the mouth of just thinking about Jonathan Taylor. That means that just six GMs for six franchises across the NFL have picked up the phone and said, hey, what do you want for him?
How many times do we talk about it? An inquiry could be, hey, what are you looking for? And that's so far from a full proposal. Mm-hmm. I'll make you a proposal. So I would ask you guys this. Now, this is a unique set of circumstances. It seems like this has just gotten personal. It's pretty crazy. Now, there are health concerns. But all things considered, knowing what we know, what would you offer the Colts for Jonathan Taylor at this point?
Not with
like,
the
if you're really making an offer.
I give him a
fourth
that could go up to a third with conditions depending on playing time.
I think to me that's in the ballpark.
Yeah, because yeah. he's not fully healthy from. Is he fully healthy?
He's on
now?
PUP.
He's still on the PUP list. Yeah,
still on the PUP list.
He's young.
He's young. You know, I guess that conditional pick would be the best way to go, whether it be a fourth that could potentially be a third or a third that could potentially be a second, because of his play, what he has done, he is a legitimate second round pick. He is. Mm-hmm. He may be a late first round pick based upon what he has done. Now, he was originally a first round pick, I believe, of the Colts. Was he their first round or their second round pick out of Wisconsin? But
I think he was a second rounder.
So, yeah. So he's giving you the numbers of a first or second round. So
is he, though?
Number wise, I'm saying his
second
play.
Round, 41st overall, yeah. 2020.
Less than 1,000 yards.
The
last
Titans
year.
Could
That's
have
because
had
he
him.
Was, he was hurt. But the year before that,
year
he
before
was the best
that,
running back in national
yeah,
football.
Yeah, 2021, game. He had a solid yeah. outing. Had just 18, shy of 2,000 yards.
1,811 yards.
So he yeah. was just now starting to pick up steam. Like, here we go. And then he gets hurt last year. That team was debacle last year. So I think he's worth a second-round pick. But to me, I would make it a conditional. I give you a third mm-hmm. that can go up to a second-round pick. Because this is where running backs, you know, of his nature are going. If you're not a Bijan Robinson or Christian McCaffrey, the likelihood of you going, you know, in that first 15 or 20 picks is slim. If you can't do both, catch the football out the backfield and run the football and being a dynamic player, then you could be a damn good running back. I look at the kid from Michigan, Quorum, I believe that's his last name.
Yeah, Blake Quorum.
Yeah. He's a hell of a running back, mm-hmm. but more than likely he's going to be a day two, a second round pick.
It's just the reality.
You know, just the reality of it. So to me, Jonathan Taylor is worth a conditional second round. I give you three. If he gets these numbers or played as many snaps, then you can get a two.
The complicated thing is we just worked out what we kind of think would be worth, but then you're thinking if you're the other team, you're not the Colts, you're making an inquiry. What happens if I don't offer you anything? What happens if I offer you a seventh-round pick and you say no? What are you going to do? Like, how much cheaper does it become as the time goes by and the bridge is burned, presumably, that Jonathan Taylor doesn't want to play for the Colts? He'll sit on the sideline. I don't know how nasty it's going to get, but it looks like it's pretty bad, right? So you're trying to get pennies on the dollar if you're the team trying to make a pick. So you might think, okay, he's worth a second-round mm-hmm. pick. But I'm going to offer a fifth of the sixth because they got to get rid of this guy. They want to move on. So can you get him cheap? That's what you're trying to do is that. The other part is the team acquiring him, you know you're going to be right back in the same boat mm-hmm. as the Colts. You get a very good running back for 1 year, and then you have to sign him to the next contract, which is very complicated these days. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about Taylor that's different about a lot of these other guys like Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon and Austin Eckler, though he is only 24 right now.
Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah,
Jonathan
he's young.
Taylor.
Yeah.
So he's still got, historically, some prime years before you tend to see running backs start to decline.
That's why I say he's worth the second round
pick. That's what the thing. But he wants that big contract. He's not a first round pick, so mm-hmm. they couldn't do the fifth year option. So you've got to have a new contract. For him. So if you're acquiring him, you got to be thinking, I don't want him just for this year. Mm-hmm. So what are you paying him?
Unless there is a team, let's say the Eagles have inquired. Again, inquired could mean a lot of different things. The Eagles have inquired about Jonathan Taylor. They could look at it like, look, we will trade you a third round pick because we're going for it this mm-hmm. year. Because we see a window. We want to get back to the Super Bowl. And we're in a window where we can win right now. So we're willing to dish out the pick if Jonathan Taylor can help our run game and get us back to the Super Bowl. But if he can't, then we're not going to pay him. You know, we'll let him go to free agency. We're not going to give him a second contract. We're not going to dish out the cash, but the Colts want a first round pick. And of course, they're going to say that to see if anybody's willing to give them a first round pick. It was a first round pick or a package of picks with the value up to a first round pick.
Nobody's giving them that. And they know it. They know it. They don't want to necessarily get rid of Jonathan Taylor. They don't, because they know they are a better team with him in the backfield, especially if, you know, you've already named Richardson your quarterback.
Right.
You need someone to take the pressure off of him. You need to be able to the quarterback's best friend, other than his offensive lineman, is a damn good running back and a really good tight end. Mm-hmm. Those are short throws, and you can turn around and hand it to the running back. Easy. If and Indianapolis knows that, and if you're going to start a rookie quarterback, you got to have a running back. So to them, for how I'm looking at it is, they're asking for too much possibly on purpose because they know they're not going to get it. Nobody's going to give you a first-round pick for Jonathan Taylor. Even if Jonathan Taylor was coming out of college, he wouldn't be a first-round pick. So no. Why are you asking for a first-round pick for a guy that just got injured? That tells me you really don't want to give him away.
See, that also mystifies me a little bit because I don't think the Colts have this huge track record of not paying. Like, this is the second contract. This mm-hmm. isn't the big contract that you got to decide that a lot of teams just pass on, like the Vikings just mm-hmm. passed on Dalvin Cook. Saying, okay, he's 28, may have had his best years, so we don't want to go big money for that next stage of his career. Taylor is still in the prime. Why don't they want to sign him to that next contract? Why not? Like, but is there something
just don't
with
think
the
it's
health?
Worth the money.
Is it the health?
Maybe. But or the only, nature of the position.
I mean, he missed, what, two games? One game is rookie year, 20. Or did they change? Was that the year they changed it to 17 games?
I don't think so. 18. I think 2020 was still 16 games,
yeah.
I think.
So he missed one game in 20, and then he played all of 2021.
Had a great year.
He had a great year, and then obviously we know what happened last year, and he still was on pace for over 1,400 yards last season before he got hurt.
But got hurt.
But he doesn't have a history, like this nagging history of somebody he's missing 3, 4, 5 games. You know, to me.
But how do they project the current issues that he has? Didn't they say something about his back or
yeah.
something?
But he said there was nothing wrong with his back.
He said that wasn't
he
the
says
case,
that, but which, I'm just wondering what would have you come to the decision that in the situation there with a young quarterback, mm-hmm. why you wouldn't want the prime years of Jonathan Taylor, even though, okay, to pay him, you pay pretty well, but it's not like nobody else pays for those years. It'd be one thing if he was 28. He's 24. Why
they
don't they want to pay him?
Because
one, he probably wants too
they're
much.
They're suppressing the running back's value. All these teams are. You know, luckily, Derrick Henry got his money when he got it. But the Titans view Derrick Henry a little bit different than what other teams view their running backs. But I think you can't tell me that something isn't going on with this running back position. I can't believe. I am not going to believe what they. Oh, it's just a position. No, this is being done on purpose.
Well, I think it's just the value in the league because right now in this league, if you're not the quarterback, if you don't catch passes from the mm-hmm. quarterback, if you don't protect the quarterback, and if you don't hit the quarterback, your value is inherently lower than
but
those
you,
positions that do. The
but
quarterback
if you
is the
can't run
position.
The football, ask Buffalo Bills. If you can't run the football, then you ain't making it too far.
I think the way that they view it is we don't need to pay Jonathan Taylor $20 million that somebody else will do for two.
Who said he wanted $20 million?
I'm just using that number.
But what I'm saying is that if this man comes in here and say, you know, after my two or three seasons, I know I got hurt last year. Let's put that aside. But I'm not an injury-prone person. First year, I had 1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns. Second year, my sophomore year, I had 1,800 yards and 18 touchdowns. What is telling you that I'm getting ready to slip? Now, I was on pace for another great season. I end up getting hurt. I get it. But that shouldn't – my value to you is still high because you know when I come back that I'm – this train is going to keep on rolling, and I'm going to keep on doing what I've been doing. So to me, I am not going to believe that something isn't going on with this running back position.
Well, it's very obvious what's
exactly.
going on.
And it's,
teams
and it's
don't
wrong.
Value them.
It's not even value. They value them. Not as much as the quarterback or not as much as the defensive end or not as much as now the wide receivers, but this is still a prime position. You need a guy like Jonathan Taylor. Imagine the Titans without Derrick Henry.
The Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Their running back was Samaji Perine.
Exactly. How many
Excuse
yards?
Excuse me, not Samaji Perine. Isaiah
it was
Pacheco.
It was the young guy.
Isaiah Pacheco.
Isaiah Pacheco.
Their starting running back was hurt a majority
but
of
the But who's
the
quarterback?
Season. Patrick Mahomes.
You better have a damn Patrick Mahomes then. And, if every team don't have a Patrick Mahomes.
And the Colts might think that they have one. I hope that they think that they have one.
I hope they think. But he's they can't think that because he's young and hadn't played enough football. I can see if they decided to make this decision, you know, 3 years down the line and say, well, Taylor, we don't need you. Our quarterback, he's that dude.
I know. I'm just saying how GMs are looking at it of where they're the most dollars are going to get tied up, and it's the quarterback and those players.